is the appearance of Radha and Krishna in their mantra form, mantra, sound form. So this Krishna and Radha appear in the sound form, they appear in the water form of Radhakund, they appear in their Sakshat Sarup, the Sarup Shakti Radharani and the Shaktiman Sri Krishna, they appear also in their transcendental forms. But this is a very special form of Radhakund. So this whole pastime of how the Arista came and then the Kunds were formed, this illustrates how Radharani is Ishvari. This pastime itself, what I was realizing that from the very beginning of this, the very beginning of the manifestation of the Prakat Lila of Radhakund, it establishes that here in Radhakund, there's only one Ishvari, Radharani. And in here at Radhakund, this is Radharani's special place where Krishna, this is Radharani's Seva Kunj. In Seva Kunj Vrindavan, Krishna dug a well for Lalita, and Nidiban, he dug a pani well, pani kua, with his vamshi for Vishakha. But here he served Radharani as her humble servant because she's the Ishvari. Let's hear how it happened. And there's different explanations. This is the explanation of the Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. On this particular evening, Vishnu Purana is saying an Ardha Pradosh. Ardha Pradosh. Pradosh Kala means 8:36 in the evening until 10:48 at night. And after Pradosh Kala comes Ratri, Ratri Kala, Nish, Nisha Kala. Kala means time. Ashta Kaliya Lila. So after there's 8:48 to 10:48, 10:36, and then 10:36 starts starts the Ratri Lila at night of Radha and Krishna. What do they do during this time? It begins at 11 o'clock at night, it goes to 11 p.m., and 12 midnight, then 1, then 2, then 3 and a half, 3:36. What do they do? They do Ras Lila. There was a Maharas dance at Chandra Sarovara. There is the Vasant Ras, the springtime Ras of Gita Govinda is at Chandra Sarovara. And then there's the Sharad Ras, Maharas, in Vrindavan, Vamshiva. But then there's the Kartik Ras, which is described in the BBT Bhagavatam and the purport by Vishnath in the Sanskrit. He's describing that this is Maharas Chiromani. He uses the word Maharas, and we'll find out why does he use the word Maharas when he's describing Radhakund. It's very interesting how you see the distinguishing qualities of Radhakund. So this pastime, according to Vishnu Purana and our Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, the whole pastime of the manifestation of Radhakund and Shambhakund happened on this day at midnight. And it all began at about 9:30 at night, 10 o'clock at night. That's the beginning. Arista, Ristasur, he came. Huge bull. It's described in the Bhagavatam. He was big black bull. Although he was appearing like Dharma, he's a personification of religion, Vrisha and Gai. He's appearing like a black bull, and his hump on his back is reaching as high as the clouds, and his eyes were red as burning cinders. It says that his hooves, they were sharp as razor blades. And his horns, he had two horns, they were as sharp and as hard and as powerful as thunderbolts. Bajra, very, very powerful. Very menacing creature. And it's described that his face, the face of this bull, because bulls don't look too bad. Indian bulls look all right. Something. But like this, they look a little tough. But Aristasura, it's also called Brishasura. His face was full of scars. No scars. How did he get those scars? Because he was always using his head to butt the trees. He'd see a big tree and say, "Oh, you're so big, I'm bigger, now I'll break you." So then he put his head down, tong, 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 tong. Push his head against the tree to try to break the huge kadamba tree or tamal tree or whatever. Not tamal, but neem tree. Like it all scratched up. It's like hitting your head against a wall. So he was very fierce looking. Like you see some famous fighter, if he has like scars on his face, like a street fighter, he looks mean. He looks tough. But he didn't look like that, shiny and cherubic, and he looked fierce and tough. So then, that's his form. Then he makes his arrival, his introduction. You have to make some noise. Like they say, tonight so-and-so is going to speak this and that, introduction. So his form itself was a foreboding introduction. And then he roared. Aah! It was so loud. And so penetrating and piercing that the female cows immediately aborted their babies and all the Brijvasi ladies had miscarriages. So much frightening sound. Like 1,000 atom bombs going off at once. Boom! Ah! Ferocious. Frightening. And all the animals of Braj, when they saw this Arishtasura, they ran. They ran into the forest and they were all chanting, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." The animals, is told in Garga Samhita. The animals are chanting, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna."
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Arishtasura. Black demon. Ill, bad heart, dirty heart. And the Brijvasis, the animals ran away in fear, chanting, "Krishna, Krishna." And the Brijvasis, they saw on one side this terribly black, ugly, scar-faced demon. And they were frightened, and they turned their face to the other side, and they saw this beautiful Shyam Sundar, who's also black and beautiful. Tribangalalitam niyataprakasham Shyamasundaram. So they saw, the Brijvasis turned towards Krishna. With tears in their eyes, they were trembling, their hair was standing in it. We can't even imagine. We said, okay, there's a big bully, but it's okay, a bully. But a bull that's, you know, is bigger than the sky, they're human size. Brijvasis are like us. And you imagine some bull that was 500 meters tall, 500 meters, 1,000 meters high. You wouldn't get scared. Ah, that's nothing, you know. It's like right out of a monster movie. You know, Tyrannosaurus Rex and all these monsters from prehistoric times. He's a monster. Monster bull. And it's this little itsy bitsy tiny boy. Nine-year-old boy. And they turn and they look at Shyam Gopal and they saw this beautiful, soft, bluish-black face. All shining with Lavanya Sundara, beautiful effulgence and tage of beauty and attraction. Quite a contrast to this ugly face, scar-faced demon. And they looked at Krishna with their hearts in their eyes. Hearts were in their eyes and they were crying out, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." There's no other shelter, there's no other savior but Krishna. Ek Ashraya, Ek Raki, Ek Ishvara. Ek Prananath, Jivan, Pranam, everything Krishna for the Brijvasis. So then Krishna looked at them and said, "Don't be afraid." Very relaxed. He said, "Don't be afraid, I'm here. Relax." So now we have the bull and the animals and the Brijvasis. Now Krishna's entered the stage. He's interacting with his beloveds. They're distressed. I can see that on their faces and their tears in their eyes. And these are not tears of joy. These are not tears of ecstatic joy over my loving relationship with them. These tears are tears of fear. Bhayamashru. Fear of a demon. I want to wipe these tears from the hearts of my devotees. I want to wipe these tears from the eyes of my Vrijvasis. They should not cry out of fear of a demon. I am here. I am here. You don't have to fear. Then Krishna walked with Subal up to that demon. And he looked at him. What are you doing? You're harassing my Vrijvasis? You fool! You wretched one! Now I'm going to send you to a place where you'll never return. That's the demon snorting through his nose. Hot breath, mucus, all this thing. And then Krishna spoke those challenging words. I'm ready. And then he relaxed and very casually put his arm on Subal's shoulder. Then he tilted his head and looked at him and said, I'm ready. With one hand, I'll take you on. Subal, watch this. Woo! Then he charged. So now this demon's charging Krishna. So he bends his head down and he aims his horns. His horns are sharper than lightning bolts. And he aims his horns right at Krishna's chest. No, at Krishna's belly. Krishna's dam, uru. What do you call belly?
Udar.
Damodar. Udar. Krishna's udar. Straight there. Why was he pointing his horns at Krishna's belly? Usually you want to kill someone, you hit the belly, they'll live. You hit the heart, they're finished. Put the horn, you put a bull's horn in your heart. Haribo. Golok Prapti. Because in that belly, it's full of Braja Prem. Makkan Chor Sri Krishna Ki. Yeah. Where do you put the makkan? In your chest or in your belly? You put it here. Pakaro Sham. Catch that boy. Hey! Stealing my butter? Hey, Lala. Hey, Nandala. You shouldn't do that. So they're churning their prane, their vatsalya rati, and putting it in a nice clay pot and keeping it cool and beautiful. Churning the yogurt into makkan, butter. This is real butter starting from yogurt. So when the Krishna's taking that, prem say, Shri Radhe, Radhe. So then he goes in here. And he fills up with their love. So he says, oh, he's coming as Dharma. He's coming. I am Dharma. I'm a bull. And I'm attacking Dharma. Because your belly is where all the love of your devotees is. And the belly is where all the makkan yogurt goes here to this udar. And then that's the perfection of religion. Prema is the perfection of religion. The perfection of Dharma is prema. And it's all in your belly, so I'm attacking that. There's so much deep meaning of this pastime. So then he charged. It said that he was running as fast as the lightning bolts of Indra. When Indra throws a lightning bolt, dah! To break a mountain. He was running that fast. And he was scraping, when he was scraping the earth with his hooves were like razor blades. He's going, shah! He was scraping the earth, and Mother Bhumi would say, ah! 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 Someone's scratching your back with razor blades, you're going to say, hey, nice. Razor blades, razor. You know, cutting. It's described, those were his hooves were like this. It's cutting Mother Bhumi, and she's crying, and Krishna's there, ah, you rascal, my devotee, you're making my Mother Earth cry with your hooves. and your roaring is causing miscarriages to my Brijvasis and my cows. Your roaring is demoniac. Your feet and your touch on the earth is demoniac. You're burdening the earth. She's crying in pain. Ah, Krishna, Krishna. She's a great devotee, Bhumi Devi. So he's Krishna, what is this? So he's attacking like that so fast. Then Krishna just grabbed him by the horns. You stupid. Horns are coming like this, right here. Coming right here. Oh, that's nice, easy to catch. Grabbed him like this. Then he went... And he picked up this bull. Then he went... Toh! And he went flying like 100 feet. Boom! Oh! It was all spitting this, that, everything all over. Then he jumped. Ha! And then he was really like fearless. And to show how fearless he was, he started dropping stool here and there. This is in the Bhagavatam. This show how fearless he was, how abhay he was. He was going, I'm going to kill you. Krishna, I'm going to kill you. Stool in urine. Shout, Aristamardhan Sri Krishna Ki. Aristari Sri Krishna Ki. So this is a clear sign, Vishnu says, this is a clear sign of his soon to depart. Anyone who's old person, the last offering they make before they leave. Every dying person makes one last offering. It's not exactly a love offering, but it's the best thing he can offer at that moment. And if you know what I mean, you know what I mean. If you don't, just as well. But what that speaker was doing, that's what people do when they're about to die. For two reasons. One thing is that the body has so much tension at the time of death, and the release of tension, even if it's a good man, maybe a good pious man, there's so much tension in the body, then there's so much tension, and finally when the tension is released just before the soul leaves, then the stool and urine come out. Or the person is so demoniac and atheistic, at the time of death he has the Yamadutas come for him. Pass it like this. He passed his stool out of fear. Just like when Aristasura saw Krishna, Aristari Sri Krishna Ki, he saw Krishna's Yamaraj, the Yamadutas. So he had the same reaction. So Vishnu says, this indicates this particular fish, you know, a bull, it's not ordinary at such an instance. At the time of fighting, that doesn't go on. When you eat something, that goes this, that. So it's a very unusual occurrence at that time. So then Vishnu is saying, this indicates that he's soon to be dead. So then again he went back and attacked Krishna. And this time one Shastra says Krishna caught him by the horns and put his foot on his head. Just held him by the horns and went, tong! They had a Bruce Lee program on the head, on forehead, between the horns. Toom! And then threw him on the ground and he stomped down on him with his foot. As if you might, a piece of cloth might step on it to get the water out. And that was it. Finished. Eyes bulged out, blood everywhere. Aristari Sri Krishna Ki. So now he's finished. Arista's dead. Now Krishna should pack up and go home. Work done for the day. Let's go back and get some muck on. That was hard work. I feel hungry. But he didn't. Because all of that, because here at Radhakund, Krishna had a plan to engage in the topmost expression of Dharma. The Maharasa itself, the Rasa Lila, Rasa Panchadhyaya, 10th canto, chapter 29 through 33, this is the epitome or the pinnacle of Dharma, Prem Dharma, the purity of love, spiritual, divine, transcendental love, Alokik Nirmal Prem, is most beautifully depicted in the Rasa Lila. That's the whole purpose, that's the crown on the Bhagavatam. The whole purpose of the Bhagavatam is to establish the worship of Radya Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayos, Shidam Vrindavanam. The whole purpose of the Bhagavatam is to establish that the worship of Radha and Krishna and Madhurya Rasa of the Brajagopis is the highest, most dedicated, selfless, totally self-forgetful and surrendered expression of divine love anywhere in the whole universe with any holy dham, Ayodhya dham, Vaikuntha dham, etc., Dwarka, Mathura, and with any form of devotee of the Lord, Ram Bhakta, Vishnu Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta, etc. So this is Ras Lila, that's Maharas. But then this Ras is special, as Vishwanath uses the Sanskrit, he calls this the Maharas. Krishna wanted to establish even a higher principle than Ras Lila. Because here, at Radhakund, Krishna arranged to establish the principle of Radha Dasyam. A Maharas Lila concentrated and focused on the principle of serving Radharani. So he invited her. Please, you come. There was an Abhisar, it was already arranged that they would meet here. And understanding that, Kamsa somehow heard. Kamsa has spies. And he heard that, Acha, Krishna is going to have some rasa dance near Govardhan, in the north side of Govardhan. So then he called Arista and said, "Go finish. Don't let him have that dance. Kill him." But Krishna, after killing him, then he went. He came here to Radhakund, and there was no Radhakund. They just met. He met with Radharani and all the gopis. And then, of course, they were aware of this whole pastime. And he said, "Now let us commence the rasa dance for which I have invited you here." And then there's that whole dialogue in the Bhagavatam. Anybody can read it by Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur in the BBT, ISKCON Bhagavatam. Vishnath is giving this whole dialogue, which we'll simply try to recount to some extent. And then when he met with Radharani, she said, no, don't touch me. Don't even put a finger on me. What to speak of rasa dance with you? You are completely contaminated by the sin of gohatya. You kill a bull or a cow, it's gohatya. So that's heavy, heavy pop, heavy sin. And not only that, you must purify yourself. Do prayaschitta. Pop prayaschitta. Purify your sin. And Krishna says, "Are, oh Pyariju, this was not a bull. This is a demon, the most heinous, wretched demon that's walked the face of the earth. He was posing as a representative of Dharma. But he was black. And the bull of Dharma is white. Because he was false. False Dharma. Chalak, or whatever. False Dharma. Mithya. Mithya Dharma. He was false Dharma. So he was, and he actually was a yogi who transformed himself. Mahima Siddhi, Anima Siddhi, Lagima Siddhi. He had Mahima Siddhi. And he transformed his body into a huge, grotesque form of a monster to attack. That's Arista Asura. No, this, I don't know what you're saying, so much word jugglery, this, that. But the thing is that this is, it's final. You have to. And now what I suggest is you go to every holy place in the universe and you bathe in all those holy places. And then I would think that will neutralize the severity of the great sin of killing this cow or bull. The Krishna says, "Listen, don't you know the Padma Puran?" Radharani, haven't from Bhaguri Rishi or Durvasa, Bhaguri Rishi or Shandilya Muni, they sometimes come to your palace, and you must have heard the Puranic stories. It's a very common thing that sages and pundits, they wander palace to palace, and they tell the Puranic stories of different avatars. Haven't you heard there, it says, Vrindavanam prittaja paramekam nagachati. You know, it says Vrindavanam prityaja paramekam nagachati, that Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. Haven't you heard that? Oh, maybe. I don't know. I was sleeping when he was reading. When he was reading the Puranas, he was very sleepy. I was sleeping. I missed that. Anyway, I don't know about that, but you do it. And then Krishna said, listen, I'm going to call all the holy rivers here. I mean, holy places here. Why should I go there when I can call them all here? So Radharani said, how is that possible? To call all the sacred holy places in the universe here? So no, you watch. All right, we'll watch. So then Krishna simply meditated. His Ichha Shakti came into play. And then suddenly they all manifested. With folded hands, how can we serve you? All the holy tears, sacred tears of India, and Pushkar, and this Tirtharaj, Lalabad, and all the different Tirthas were there, holy places. And all the holy rivers, Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri, the Shroni River, there's somebody listed there in the story, different rivers. And they said, how we may serve you? So I have to take a purifying bath, a Tirtha Snan, a Pavitra Snan, because of my pot. And this is the prescribed means to wash away the grievous sin of killing the cow. I must bathe in all these holy places. Very powerful. So this is the agya of my Swamini. My Swamini is giving me this agya. Radha is giving me this order. I must do it. So das was me. So he said, all right. And then Krishna put his heel in the ground and immediately made a suitable impression. A natural sarovar or lake. And all those holy places entered there. All the holy rivers, everyone. All the lakes, rivers, everything. Then Krishna took his bath. Then when he came out, he stood on the bank. So? Now what? I followed your order, and so now listen to me for a second. I have just performed this wonderful and amazing deed. Don't you think so? And Lita looked at him and said, what did he say? What did Shyam said something? Then Radharani said, he said that he just performed an amazing, wonderful deed to create this whole Krishna Kund by his will. Oh, yeah. I heard him, but he says so many things. He says so many things. He's always boasting. Look at the way he's standing like this. So you see, by the creation of this Kund, Krishna Kund, that I have done an incredibly noble and pious deed. But you gopis, all of you, Radhika, Pyariju, Priyaji, you've never, in your whole life, you've never done any pious thing. Not one. You've never built a shade for yatris to rest in. You never put lighting on the footpath for yatris to find their way through the forest. You never dug holy kundas for people to bathe in and refresh themselves by walking. You didn't do any pious activities. How can you? Hey, Saki on, Suno. We're going to dig a kund. And listen to me. Because I'm Kirtida Sutta. I'm the daughter of Kirtida. Kirti means fame. Kirti does. I am very famous. We're going to make a kund here. And our kund, Sri Kund, Radha Kund, will become more famous than his. Mark my words. This is how when they spoke like this. Then she said, all right, Sakis, dig. So they took off their kangan. Kangan means his bangle. The original name of the kund is Kangan. Kangan kund. Even the sign, I think, there's one sign at Radhakund. It has an arrow. It says state sign, a blue sign by the Sangam. It says Kangan, Kangan kund. People come and say, what's that? I'm looking for Radhakund. It's right at the entrance to the Sangam when you're going by Madan Mohan Temple on the Prikomarg. It says Kangan kund. Oh, and you ask a Brahmin, have you seen Radhakund? Because they're doing Prikomagiraj. I don't know. I'm trying to locate Radhakund. I found Uddhava kund. I found Manasiganga. This is it. No, I know Hindi. This is Kangan kund. That's it. Just go, jao. So then they go. So they're digging with their bangles, and now talk about amazing. Adbhuta. Immediately! Instantly, as soon as Radharani took her bangle, all the sakis took their kangan off their wrists, their beautiful golden wrists. As soon as they touched it to the ground, they just touched the bangle to the ground, Radhakund appeared. Shri Radhakund ki! Because the word in Sanskrit is used immediately. That means immediate. Like this. That's sharp. Dekho. You see? Not bad, huh? Hey, Lalita. Vishaka. Look at his face. Shams is becoming very sad. All of his pride immediately melted into a pool of embarrassment. He's like, huh? Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki jai jai Shri Radhe. Krishna's perplexed. He's at what to do. All right. So now, to then Radharani. That's Krishna's thing. So now, you have this kund, but what's an empty hole in the ground? Incidentally, Radharani's kund was, I forgot, it was dug in one of the hoof prints of Arista. Just west of Krishna's kund, she found a hoof print from his hoof, you know, his foot, in the ground, an impression. So they just touched their bangles there, and zoom, immediately expanded. Because Radharani is Sarvas Shakti Mayi Radha Ki. Or Jai Shri Radha Ki. Yeah. Kartiki Devi Radharani Ki. Yeah. Vrindavaneshri Radharani Ki. Yeah. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Radha, please. How will you get water? You can take the water, my kund, we can cut a small canal and the waters of my kund can easily fill your kund also. Ah, oh, no. It's that. Oh, ha, Saki, so. Vishnu. Kya bolte, Sham? What are you saying? What? That water? That pani that touched your body? That pani that touched your body? It's contaminated. With your pop. You're a Papa Maharaj. You're a Pop Bhagavan. What is this? No, I touch our beautiful golden bodies, pure bodies of that. Oh, that's what is that? That's nothing but Krishna Charanamrita. What is that? Krishna took a bath. It's all Abhishek. It's Krishna's Charanamrita, and they're saying we don't want to touch it. If we conditioned souls touch one drop of Krishna Charanamrita, we get liberation. Then, after we're liberated, we touch another drop, we get Krishna praying. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. And the gopis don't want to touch a drop. No. Acha then, exactly can you tell me how do you propose that you will get water to fill your kund? Oh, Radharani said, that's no problem. We're expert, haven't you seen? We're jal carriers. We carry the jal. Jaladuta. The gopis are jaladuta. Duta, of course, means carrier, yes? Water carrier. So you want to see the jaladuta or you want to see the yamaduta? Because jal means ras. The word duta means carrier and duta means messenger. So Prabhupada carried the Gauranga ras to America. And Srila Prabhupada, because it means carrier and it means message or messenger. So Prabhupada is a messenger coming from Vrindavan, from Sevakunj, to teach everyone Radhadasyam. The ultimate service, expression, the ultimate service of expression of the soul, if that is his stahirati, is the service of Radharani. That's not, everyone has their own stahirati. But Prabhupada brought that from, he's from Sevakunj. Where are you coming from, Sevakunj? What's your message? Someone said, where are you coming from? I'm coming from the White House. What's your message? You're under arrest. You haven't paid your taxes. You ran away from America. They finally caught you. So the message is from Sevakunj. Sevakunj is Radharani's Seva. Sevakunj means Radharani Seva. The Kunj, the Prabhupada's bhajan stali was the Kunj of Radha Damodar Seva. Yes? Yes. And he said, this is my eternal residence. Yes? Yes. So do you want to live with your grandfather? Yes. You want to live with your father? Yes. So then Radharani says, we'll go to Manasi Ganga. We'll collect so many millions of water pots and we'll fill it in no time. And Krishna was very anxious about that statement. He was his heart was trembling. Oh, so much difficulty for my devotee. I'm causing so much trouble. Her pride, she won't take water from my kund because of her pride. She thinks that water that touched my body is contaminated. Doesn't she know the Bhagavad Gita? Doesn't Radharani, every Indian knows at least one shloka from the Bhagavad Gita. So Radharani's born here, well, it's not India, but it seems like. So she must, doesn't, because Krishna's having this dialogue with Subal. Doesn't Radharani know the shloka from Bhagavad Gita? Sarva dharman hritajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo mokshayishmi masucha. If someone touches me, they become liberated. So if I am the source of liberation, how can I be the source of my own contamination? Impossible. They're incompatible points. You are Mukunda, the giver of liberation. You are liberation personified, and you give liberation to anyone who surrenders to you. So this is Leela, obviously. Some tattva is being stretched here. This is Charanamrita. We go there, we drink long drinks of it, and we worship the one drop of Radhakunda. We worship and carry on our head and hope that we have one drop on our head when we die, or on our lips, or whatever. Our head is good enough. Swamini's feet on our head is perfect. So Krishna was very disturbed, and he thought, I want to start the rasa dance. And it's going to take a long time to bring all that water from Manasi Ganga. This whole purpose of this whole leela is to have a rasa dance. It's described maharas, and there's one word I just forgot in the verse. It's in that purport in BBT, Sanskrit. Maharas Shiromani or something like that. It's a crest jewel of all maharas dances, is at Radhakund on this night on Bahalastami. It's Nitya Leela. Nitya Leela. It's going on in Aprakat Leela. On this very night. Or in some other universe. Some other universe in the Prakat Leela and some Boma Vrindavan. Sisor is being killed right now. Boom. He's also right now. Boom, boom. Passing still in urine. So then Krishna's distressed, so then he thought, oh, this can't be. Somehow I have to convince Radharani to accept this pani. So then in his mind he thought, oh, all these sacred rivers, they must come out, some representative. So one says Samasta Tirtha Saka, says in Sanskrit. Samasta Tirtha Saka in the verse. So the friend, you could say a friend, it's in English it's translated, representative of all the holy rivers, lakes, etc., that were inside of Krishna Kund, came out personified with folded hands. Samasta Tirtha, Saka, the friend. That's how the Sanskrit Vishnath uses. So then he said, my Lord, how may I serve you? He says, my Swamini Radha, she wants to go on so much toil and trouble she'll have to bring water. Can't you convince her to somehow accept my waters and fill her kund? So then he prayed, Samasta Tirtha Saka, on behalf of. So this is significant. That's why it says in Sanskrit, Samasta Tirtha Saka. The friend, the representative of all the sacred tirthas, is praying to Radharani for service. So you're going to this tirthastali and to take this tirthasnan and that tirthasnan. And that's significant why Vishnath is telling in his commentary in Bhagavatam. Samasta Tirtha Saka, the friend who's representing all the tirthas, he's praying for an opportunity to serve the lotus feet of Radharani. So he prays, his prayer is there. Beautiful prayer. He's glorifying Radharani, you are Krishna's most beloved and so affectionate to him. And he wants to have this rasa dance here, is what I can remember. And please, you're so exalted and glorified that even Lakshmi, he says, even Lakshmi Devi cannot understand you. Brahma cannot understand you. Shiva cannot understand you. This is what all the holy places, they don't understand Radharani. He's Samasta Tirtha Saka. All the holy places say, he's a representative. So they're saying, he's saying, Brahma, Shiva, they don't understand you. So if they don't understand you, what is my power to understand your mahima, your glories? So what am I? I can only beg for your mercy, your karunamayi Radha. I can beg for your mercy. Please, somehow, it will, our lives, the seed, the fruit, our life will attain fruit. The perfection of our life will be if we can somehow render service at your lotus feet. This is the Sanskrit. Just think of it. All the holy places in the universe, they're praying to Radharani on this particular night that the perfection of my life and all of our lives as a representative, I'm speaking, I'm a spokesman on behalf of all the holy tirthas, perfection of our lives will be to get an opportunity to render a small service at your dust of your lotus feet. Will you not grant us that fortune and make our lives fruitful? Otherwise, what is the purpose of being Prayag and Allahabad and Haridwar and Harikipuri and Jamuna and Ganga? What is the purpose? What is the purpose of our birth, our existence here in this world? If we cannot attain the service of your feet, there's no value, there's no purpose of our lives. Please, please, oh Ishwari, oh Vrindavaneshwari, oh please bestow your mercy, please bestow your mercy. Radharani is looking so compassionately and so caringly at Samasta Tirtha Saka. And then she's smiling and looking at him. So with her smile, she gives her Kamaruna. Then from the corner of her eye, she casts a glance at Shyam. Which indicates, all right. Radharani never talks with her mouth. She only talks with her eyes, which are always dancing in the expression of different love, types of love. So then Krishna told it, he said, yes, I got the order. Ishwari gave me the order, it's okay. She communicated her agya through her eyes. Radha Kripa Kataksha. Go ahead, Karo. So she said, she looked and she went like this. Aro. Come, Karo. So then they at exactly midnight or whatever, where that's exactly told in Sanskrit or Shastras, I haven't particularly seen. But the general, it's definitely in Ratri Leela. It's definitely on this particular night that this the kunz manifested somewhere around that time, 11:30, 12 o'clock. So all the Vaishnavas, they're following the tradition, always bathing at midnight, which we will also do. And then afterwards, they commenced a wonderful rasa dance. And then Vishnu Chakravarti describes the speciality of this Maharas. And this Maharas, he says that Harsha, he said, this Maharaj and this Maharaj, Radharani looked like a lightning bolt, a golden, flaming, beautiful golden lightning bolt. Her form was so brilliant at this rasa dance at Radhakund. And Krishna's form was so beautiful, looked like a dark rain cloud, just full of Ganaras, Ganasham, just saturated with concentrated liquid mellows of Madhurya Ras and Sringhar Ras, like a huge cloud full of this Ras, this water of Ras. So this beautiful, effulgent, ripened cloud, fresh cloud in this lightning bolt. Then when they danced at Radhakund, and this type of description, when you read the description, specific descriptions of a Sant Ras, or in this Bamsivat Ras, in this Sharad season, you won't find this particular description. This is the most unique place in the universe, Radhakund, the most unique expression of love of Radha and Krishna, Radhakund, and the most unique expression of every Leela, including they have Julan Leela here, they have Banbihar here, they have Jalke Leela here, they have Madhupan, so many Leelas here, which they have also in Vrindavan. But here's the topmost perfect expression, most exhilarating and satisfying and fulfilling to Radha Shyam's inner hearts.